Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're going to pray some few minutes. But you can't come for an all-night meeting without hearing the word of God. Last week, as we are in the Mount of Faith, we began to look at the boosters of faith. And we explained that there are two dimensions of faith. The first dimension of faith is saving faith. The second dimension of faith is growing faith. And we said that saving faith takes you to heaven, but growing faith brings heaven to you on earth. We explained that saving faith makes you born again. Growing faith makes you reign again over diseases, over the traps of the enemy, over limitations, and over the forces of darkness. It is growing faith that the believer needs to survive in these last days, and not saving faith, because you have already believed Jesus Christ for your salvation. We also began to look at the laws that boost faith. We said the first law that boosts faith is the law of seeing and hearing. And we explained that if you want your faith to be boosted, it is very important that you see and hear the right things. You have to surround yourself with the things that will affect you in your hearing and in your sight. If you are in the midst of associations, if you are watching things that doesn't bless your faith, it will kill your faith. And a lot of people want to operate in faith, but the challenge is that they are hearing the wrong things and they are seeing the wrong things. And the best place to see and hear the right things is in church, and it's in the word of God. We also said number two is the law of confession. You will never see what you don't see. We keep saying this, but it's the truth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God is God. All things are possible with him. But God had to speak light into being before light came. So God is teaching man a principle that you are your words, and you eventually become your words. So we said the law of confession is the law of professing what you want to possess. And many children of God, or many believers, have failed to speak the right words that will boost their faith. Number three, we said it is the law of fasting and prayer. If you want to boost your faith, you must constantly engage yourself in the discipline of fasting and prayer. Now, number four is the law of God's promises. Any believer that wants to have his faith boosted must gather, collect, research the things God has promised in his word. It is believed that there are over 2,000 promises in the Bible. Can you imagine you have 2,000 promises from God? How do you even treat a promise someone gives you? If your uncle promises you a laptop, the kind of expectation and excitement that comes to you in anticipation of that laptop, God has over 2,000 promises for you, and most of you have not even bothered to find out what God has promised. And the truth be told, if you don't know what God has promised, there is nothing to expect. Because when you know there is a promise, you will know and have expectation. So the reason why many believers have no expectation, and remember, expectation is the force of faith. So if you have no expectation, it means that what is supposed to propel that expectation is not there. If you check the book of Psalm 91, it gives us many promises of protection. Psalm 23 gives us promises. Psalm 27 promises. So hear me, if you check the Bible, there are promises of blessings. There are promises of financial increase. There are promises of prosperity. There are promises of protection. There are promises of deliverance. If you don't surround yourself with the promises of God, you will not be able to partake in the divine nature. There is an app you can download on your phone. It's called Promise Box. When you are done, go and download it. Promise Box. It gives you only promises of God. And as you keep feeding on the promise of God, it gives you an idea of what God wants to do in your life, so it can create an expectation for you to walk in them. Listen to me. Every single day, you must walk in a promise. So listen to me. You must stand on God's promises to demand things from heaven. So for example, he says 1,000 shall fall by thy side and 10,000 on thy right hand. He says it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes will you behold the reward of the wicked. It's a promise. He shall give his angels charge over you. And hear me carefully. If you don't know the promise, don't expect it. So I'm telling you something. Instead of spending your whole day on those movies, those season movies that takes your time, why don't you spend them on the promises of God? Because the promises of God, the more you know them, your faith is boosted. Now, this is where we ended, but number 5, which is today's message, and then we enter into what God wants to say to us today, is the law of joy, peace, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. The law of joy, peace, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. The fifth law that boosts faith is the law of joy, peace, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Now, it's very important to understand this thing. If you are a child of God and you constantly live in depression, you constantly live in anxiety and worry, you constantly live in sorrow, your faith will be crippled. And hear me carefully. God is not responsible for your joy. I repeat myself. God is not responsible for your joy. Because he has told you what to do in his word. The Bible says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice always. I say to you again, rejoice. So, rejoicing is a command. It's not a feeling. The Bible says, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious, be worried about nothing, but in everything by prayer, which means no warrior can be a warrior. Any believer who learns to worry can never be able to do spiritual warfare. He cannot be able to pray. So it's either you are worrying or you are worrying. It's either you are worrying or you are praying. So there is no one who prays and is worried. And there's no one who is worried and prays. Both of them can happen at the same time. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So hear me carefully. There is a place of joy and peace. You must always walk in the peace of God if you want your faith to be active. If Satan succeeds in controlling your life with depression, with sorrow, with anxiety, and with all kinds of fears, your faith is finished. The greatest havoc you can do to yourself is to walk in fear. Fear of death. Fear that you will never make it. Fear that you will not succeed. In fact, fear of the future and fear of the known. There are some of you, you even fear what you don't even know about that you fear. Some of you have already started being afraid that you can't make it before the end of the year. And you see, fear is a very strong force. The Bible says God has not given you the spirit of fear, which means fear is a spirit. If you entertain it, fear will take hold of your life and mold and shape your life the way it wants you to go. So listen, if you don't operate in the area of joy and peace, and you allow depression, worry, anxiety, and fear to take over your life, I am telling you, you will affect your faith and you can never make progress. You know why? Because you can't please God without faith. So we said the law of joy, peace, thanksgiving. The Bible says in everything, give thanks to God. You see, there's a reason why God said that. In everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. He says, give me thanks. It does not make sense. You see, that is how come faith does not make sense. How can God tell me to rejoice and thank him in the midst of my trials? That is the difference between an unbeliever and a believer. That's why you are called a believer. You are called to believe. I'm teaching good here. So hear me carefully. Thanksgiving is a very powerful force. Out of the 10 lepers, only one came to give thanks, and Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. Which means thanksgiving is an act of faith. Praise and worship is not something we do in church. It's a lifestyle. Your lifestyle is supposed to be a life of praise. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Romans 4 that Abraham glorified God. So Abraham, the father of faith, glorified God for what God has said. When you read Ephesians chapter 5, the verse 18 to 21, the Bible tells us not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but it says be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sometimes in a place of sorrow, sing. Sing-a-thon. Sing. Sing songs of worship. Songs of adoration. Songs that magnify God. Because listen, the more you magnify God, the more your problems become smaller before you. And the more you ponder over your problems, the more God becomes smaller and your problems become mightier. I'm teaching good here. So listen to me. One of the boosters of faith is joy, peace, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. When you read the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the verse 20 to 22, when Jehoshaphat was threatened by 5 different kings who rose up against him, he had an army. But when you read the verse 21, the Bible said that he told them when he had consulted the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, how can you? I thought it says to fight. 5 kings and their entire army are fighting you and you put singers in front. You see how the ways of God does not correspond to the ways of man. And to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endured forever. Can you imagine in World War II or World War I, a nation prepares for war and before they fought, they said, praise the Lord. When an army is already shooting. But when they did that, look at the next verse. And when they began to what? Can I hear you shout it? When they began to, and to praise, the Lord set what? Ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were what? Smitten. Which means when they began to praise, God switched the battle from the earth realm into the heavenly realm. The only way you can shift every battle in your life into the spirit realm is when you begin doing the spiritual things God has instructed you to. And one of the things we do, which is spiritual, is to sing praise and worship songs to God. Boost your faith today by learning to keep an atmosphere of joy and peace. Don't entertain depression. I have learned never to worry. It is a discipline, no, it's not a gift. There is nobody who naturally doesn't know how to worry. I'm teaching good here. You must train yourself not to worry. No matter the pressure, no matter what is mounting up against you, you must train yourself not to worry. Tell someone, I refuse to worry. Come on, shout it. I refuse to worry. Hallelujah. Number 6 is the law of purity. It's the law of purity. The final law that boosts faith is the law of purity. Hear me carefully. Nothing cripples faith like sin. A lot of people have their faith inoperative because they are living in unconfessed sin. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So there is something about righteous living and boldness. There is something connected to righteous living called boldness. Anytime you live in sin, you lose your confidence. And the Bible says, cast not your confidence, for it has great recompense. So your reward is in your confidence, and your confidence is founded upon your purity. So one of the boosters of faith is holy living and righteous living. If you want your faith to be operative, walk in righteousness. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. It will boost your faith. I'm teaching good here. So now quickly, I want to, what I'm actually sharing with you today is what we call the organs of faith. Make sure you put down some notes here. The organs of faith. If you're feeling sleepy, you just get up on your feet. So please, if you're seated beside someone who is dozing off, try and push the person and tell the person, please rise up or arise and shine, for thy light has come. I know some of you are not used to all nights, but by the time you come about 10 times, you should be fine. Hallelujah. The organs of faith. Joshua chapter 1, the verse 7 to 9. We are going to read together. Joshua chapter 1, the verse 7 to 9. 1, 2, go. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Now look at the next verse. One to go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Look at the last verse. One to go. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I wish someone can print this and paste it in his room. Be strong and courageous. Moses was a great man. Moses brought Israel from captivity, led them through the Red Sea into the wilderness. The people had so much respect for Moses to the extent that they almost started worshiping him. Moses rebelled against God, and God told him he was not going to take the people of God to the promised land. And Joshua took over. When Joshua took over, Joshua was intimidated because he felt he would not be honored like Moses was honored. Joshua was timid because he felt he could not fit into the shoes of Moses. So the first thing God said to Joshua was to be strong and courageous. But he gave Joshua some principles that I want to teach you on the organs of faith. Hear me carefully. Faith has organs. There are four organs of faith that every child of God that knows them will operate mightily in faith. The first organ of faith we see here is the heart. The second organ of faith is the mind. The third organ of faith is the mouth. And the fourth organ of faith is the will. Now, there are four C's amongst all of them that I want to explain further for you to understand. Now, according to what we just read, the first organ of faith, we said, is the what? This class is too small. It's the heart. Now, the purpose of the heart in faith is for conviction. The purpose of the heart in faith is for conviction, is to believe. Now, hear me carefully. The heart was made to love. The heart was made to believe. the word of God, and the heart was made to receive the word of God. So the heart was made to love, it was made to receive the word of God, and it was made to believe the word of God. So the first organ of faith is the heart, and it is for the purpose of building convictions. Your belief system, it begins from the heart. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So anything you want to unlock begins with the heart. Number two, the second organ is the mind. Which has the second C of what we call consciousness. So number one, which is the heart, is made up of conviction. Number two, which is the mind, is made up of consciousness. What are you conscious about? What information are you conscious of? I said the last time that the mind has two faculties. The first faculty of the mind is the memory. The second faculty of the mind is imagination. So by the memory, you are able to remember things and events that happened in the past. The second organ is the imagination. By the imagination, you are able to see a picture of the future and you desire to be there. And these two faculties or organs of the mind are so crucial because you will need your memory. You also need your imagination. Which is why every believer must be careful of the things they do, because what you do can become tomorrow's memory. Will you or can you enjoy your memory 5 years from now? May your memories of the past not be bad things, in Jesus' name. So it is very important to understand that the mind has two compartments, which is the memory and the imagination. So hear me carefully. The purpose of the mind is to build consciousness. Remember, the heart is to build what? Conviction. The mind is to build consciousness. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, note this very carefully. If you have an empty head, you will have an empty faith. I'm teaching good here. If you have an empty head, you will have an empty faith. Some of you are saying, the Lord, give me faith. It doesn't work that way. Faith is not actually prayer. We don't pray it. You must have a consciousness upon which faith can thrive. Which means you must fill your mind not just with information, but with revelation. Because what man says is information. What God says is revelation. Am I helping someone here? So listen carefully. You must fill your mind with the knowledge of God, because it is the platform upon which your faith can flourish. So the organ of the mind is to develop consciousness of the word of God. I'm teaching good here. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. He says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Hear me carefully. You don't know what is inside you until the word of God tells you. So it is the word of God that can scan you and tell you what you are made of. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is active and living, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing asunder the spirit, soul, body, marrow, joints. And the Bible is telling us it's the discerner of the thoughts and the heart of men. So the word of God has a piercing ability, and he has the power to declare to you, to pronounce to you what you are made up of. So every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus must be acknowledged by knowledge. So whatever you acknowledge is because you have knowledge of it. You can never acknowledge anything you have no knowledge about. The word acknowledge there is a epignosis, which is full recognition. And the word of God gives you full recognition. I'm teaching good here. So those of you who only read your Bible once a week, you are in trouble with these scriptures. They memorized it. They could tell us. Have you noticed that the only scripture you remember is what you were taught in Sunday school? John 3:16. It's the only scripture you remember. For God so loved the world. We know he loves the world. What again do you know? What again have you stored up in this memory? Hear me carefully. In time of trouble, it is the scriptures you have learned, meditated, and known that the Holy Ghost will inspire. So hear me carefully. Don't only fill your heart with conviction, fill your mind with information and revelation. So the second organ is your mind, and you must build consciousness. What you know becomes your possessive consciousness in life. The reason why you just know you cannot fail. You know, I've seen Christians. I know I cannot fail. How do you know? And why do you know you cannot fail? I don't know. I can't explain, but I just know. Look at what born am I born? I just know that me, I no go suffer. I no go beg for bread. How do you know you no go suffer? I can't explain to you, but I just know that I know. Once I was born, I just know that I know. And you see, this is what has even affected the prayer life of many Christians. You have done, converted every prayer into tongues. Give thanks to God. Shakarabokosh. Bless the Lord. Shikente kente. Make a prayer request unto the Lord. Patakaprosh katapa. You see, the challenge you have is not done. The challenge is that what born. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray what? In my understanding. Also, I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing in my understanding also. So he's telling you that you don't just pray in the spirit, you also pray in understanding. But you see, you cannot pray in understanding when you don't have understanding. I'm teaching with you. So you see, because you don't have any scripture or scriptural verses on thanksgiving, when we say give thanks, because of your empty-headedness, you speak in tongues. You see, that's your challenge. You have converted. So now your tongues itself lacks power. How many verses do you know on protection? Listen, it's not everything we convert into tongues. Don't be deceived. So now many tongue speakers are now speaking it as a ritual and not by conviction. How many scriptures do you know on thanksgiving? That one is not an impartation. It's work and discipline. In your 24 hours, give about 1 hour every day to the word of God. I'm teaching good here. On thanksgiving, study about it. Read the memorized verses on thanksgiving, on giving, on the goodness of God, on the kindness of God. You must build your convictions there in your mind. Number three organ is the organ of the mouth. And here, we are talking of confessions. Are you seeing the progression? The first one was what? Conviction. The second one was what? Consciousness. The third one is confession. You need to understand that your mouth was not only made for eating. Your mouth was not only made for eating. It was made also for talking. For professing. For confession, for speaking, for prophesying. Hear me carefully. When you read the book of 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Bible says we all are having the same spirit. spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. So hear me carefully. You must learn to speak the things you believe. Speak the things that you believe. Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. I thought he was going to tell him it shall not depart from thy heart. He says, shall not depart from thy mouth. Which means the book must be on your lips. The book must be in your mouth. You must speak. You must confess the word of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In the midst of trouble, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that worketh in me. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my strength, my God, in whom will I trust? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You must speak it. You must speak it. You must talk it. You must speak it. David killed Goliath with his mouth. He said, this day I will kill you and give your carcass to the birds of the air. He said he will cut off his head without a sword. When David said he would cut off his head, he did not have a sword. When you read Exodus chapter 14, the verse 13, when Israel was stuck at the Red Sea, Moses spoke and Moses said to the people, fear ye not. God didn't speak to him, but he declared, because he knew the Lord. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. God didn't tell Moses to say it. It was Moses that declared the Egyptians you see today, you will not see them again. That was the spirit of faith. Listen to me. The spirit of faith is a talking spirit. Some of you canceled your interview with your mouth. I'm not too sure about this thing. I'm getting anxious. I'm not too sure. I don't think I'm too ready and prepared. You actually spoke yourself out of that job. I don't think I'm qualified. I don't think I'm made. Listen to me. Those confessions are killers. Speak and confess the word of God, because you will only possess what you confess. I'm teaching good here. Are you here with me? Number four, the fourth organ is the organ of the will. The fourth organ is the organ of the will. And the organ of will is for compliance. You comply with God. You comply with God. Into brackets, obedience. Obedience. So now look at the order of the organs. Number one is there. Oh. Number one is there. This class is too weak. Number one is the heart, which is for what? Conviction. Number two, the mind for consciousness. Number three, the mouth for confession. Number four, the will for compliance. Compliance also means what? Obedience. Isaiah chapter 1, the verse 19. If ye are willing and obedient, repent, you will eat the good of the land, which means the fourth organ of faith, which has got to do with the will, is what we call obedience. Hear me. You don't believe until you obey. You don't believe until you obey. The crux of faith is obedience. So believing is not enough. Obedience is what completes faith. So until you have obeyed, you don't truly believe. Look at the book of Exodus chapter 14, the verse 28. Exodus 14. Sorry, Numbers 14, 28. Okay, so that side is for the confession. So come with me again to Exodus 14, 13. Sorry. Exodus 14, 13. So now, after the confession was made, after Moses made the confession, look at the next verse. He says, the Lord will fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Next verse. And the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that day. That day. You are not here with me. That day. Go forward. Now, they were actually trapped at the end of a sea. And God said to Israel that they should go where? Forward. This doesn't make sense. Hello, God. He says, go forward. And there's a sea. How do I advance when there is an obstacle? That's what we call faith. So it will only take faith to believe God to do something that is contrary to what you are seeing. God is telling them to go forward when there is an obstacle of a huge big sea. The sea size can picture a problem size. And God is saying something otherwise, that you should do it. Can you imagine you go for an interview and the interview has 14,000 people? Do you see how you feel small? And the first thing that comes to mind is that 14,000 people, I'm not the one. The first thing that comes to your mind is that if it's 14,000 people, then who are we? 14,000. And they're looking for 10 people or 100 people. I'm not part. You see, that spirit is what has brought you where you are today. The spirit of faith advances in the midst of pressures. It takes no for an answer. So hear me carefully. You must obey for faith to be complete. The Bible says by faith Noah built an ark. In fact, when Noah was building the ark, the sun was shining. So it was as though what Noah was seeing was not the word of God. You are building an ark. And those times when Noah was building the ark was not in a place like Tema Harbor. Because if it was around Tema Harbor, they know there is a sea there. So there's water around. The place he built the ark was like the northern region. When the sun is scorching and shining, so the people around, the reason why they perished was because they did not believe. But by faith, Noah was moved in fear. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 7, that he went and built the ark. He prepared the ark. So whilst he was knocking the nails inside the wood, he was acting in faith. He was acting in faith. So listen, faith must obey the word of God. Abraham was told by God, get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, out of your father's house. And Abraham journeyed to a place he did not know. That's Hebrews 11, 8. He went to a place he did not know where God was sending him to, but he obeyed God. not knowing whither he went. You see, no wonder Abraham is a part of it. You have made a living. You are enjoying your father's house. In fact, you didn't need to build any house because your father built houses. You had enough cattle for you to survive. And God says, move. Do you know what it means for God to tell you to move? Which means you have lost your pride. You have lost everything in your father's house. But Abraham still moved. He held on to the word of God. I'm teaching good here. By faith, in obedience, Gideon defeated an entire army. Can you imagine with 300 people? Because he obeyed God. He defeated a whole army of over 300,000 with 300 men. Obedience. Listen, your victory in life is the obedience of it. By faith and obedience, the walls of Jericho came down. If you obey God, walls will come down because of you. By faith, Samson, anytime there was trouble, you see, many people don't understand. Samson was not a macho man. No. Samson was the slimmest man in Israel. Slimmest, very slim guy. So sometimes when we see the strength of Samson in the Bible, we think Samson was, you know, like this. No. Very lanky guy. But when the spirit of might came upon him, he was able to do extraordinary things. And the Bible was telling us that Samson was also part of the hall of faith. Which meant that Samson, anytime he knew there was trouble, he knew the spirit of might would come. So he would take action before the spirit comes. Our speed. In Hebrews chapter 11, when you read, the Bible says that by faith, some subdued kingdoms, which means a whole kingdom can be subdued by faith. A whole entire kingdom can be subdued by faith. Number two, they wrought righteousness, which means kings ruled their people well by faith. Number three, they obtain promises, which means they receive what God has promised by faith. Hear me carefully. If God has said something about your life, it will take faith for it to manifest. So the promises of God are obtained by faith. God has given you a prophecy. It's a promise. It will take faith. Number four, they stop the mouth of lions, which means that wild animals can be stopped by faith. Number five, they quench the violence of fire by faith. Now, all these things that the Bible is telling us are things that are possible by faith. I'm teaching good here. The Bible says they escaped the edge of the sword by faith. Which means that you can have supernatural deliverance by faith. I know of someone who was kidnapped. And whilst the kidnappers were driving her in the car, she started singing songs of praise and worship. They told her to keep quiet, and all the more she was singing. Immediately, all the kidnappers ran from the car and left her alone with the car. Can you imagine? By just obeying the word of God in praise, obeying the word of God in praise, kidnappers left her with a new car. Faith. Tell someone, faith. This is to make two people arise. The Bible says, by faith, out of weakness, men were made strong. Out of weakness, men were made what? Strong. Which means, listen, you may have a weakness, but by faith you can be strong. You can be strong. You can be strong. Number eight, he says, they wax valiant in fight, which means they had great power in battle. Number nine, they turn to flight the armies of aliens. Number 10, women received They are dead back to life by faith. Hey, which means by faith, people who are supposed to die can be brought back to life. I remember the other time, my father prophet, Nana Pokusa called here. They had a swimming pool in their house, and his first daughter, who was swimming, drowned inside and died. The whole family, everybody was crying. He sacked everybody out, knelt down the poolside, and spoke the word of God, prophesied, declared, commanded her spirit to enter back, and her child came back to life again. Listen to me. This thing is not far from you. See, tell someone that nobody dies in my hands. Listen, if you are not conscious of this, the day your sister or your brother will die, you'll be found wanting. You have to be conscious. The Bible says by faith, women had their sons brought back to life. So you must be so conscious of the fact that dead things can be brought back to life by the spirit of faith. I'm teaching you here. Tell two people, nothing dies in my hands. One more time, nothing dies in my hands. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says by faith they obtained a good report. Good report. Which means if you want to experience good reports in your report card of faith, walk in faith. Ask somebody what is on your report card. By faith, they obtain a good report. Now, this is a serious matter. Those times in school, what were they writing in the report card? Average. Good. Very good. Excellent. Some of you fail, 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 fail. And God has brought you this far. I'm teaching good here. So in the report card, we see the reports of the things you have been doing. So, your report card is a card of your exploits. The Bible says by faith they obtained a good report. Which means if you want to change your report card, walk by faith. Clap. Hallelujah. They obtained good report. There are five people here who are about to obtain some good report. I said there are five people here who are about to obtain a good report. Receive a good report right now. In the name of Jesus. Your report card is changing. Your report card is changing. In the name of Jesus. Quickly before we move, the attitude of faith. Before we pray. The attitude of faith. Faith has five attitudes. Number one, all things in faith are for God's glory and not for self-glory. All things in faith are for God's glory and not for self-glory. There are people who are believing God to walk in faith so that they can have things for themselves. They are believing God for a car so they can show their neighbor that they to them, they down. Faith doesn't work like that. All things in faith are for God's glory. So listen to me. If you want your faith to be strong, there is an attitude to develop. Every attitude in your faith must be for God's glory. It's not for self. It's not to glorify yourself. It is for the glory of God. Number two, all things are to promote God's kingdom in faith. So why are you praying for your wife? So that she will love you or so that she will love God? I'm teaching good here. So all things in faith are to promote the kingdom of God. Am I teaching good here? It is to promote the kingdom of God. So listen, if the faith you have is to promote your own agenda, you are believing God for a job so that you can be able to do show, you can buy new dresses, you can buy Converse, you can buy Nike, you can buy Adidas, you can buy nice perfume and watch. Your faith has a problem. Look at Hannah. Hannah trusted God for a child and says, Lord, if you give me a child, I will give the child back to you. That's the spirit of faith. And out of honest confession, Israel had one of the greatest prophets. So hear me. What is your faith doing? Is it promoting God's kingdom or promoting your own agenda? I'm teaching you though. So that car you are believing God for, God knows that if you get it, you'll be picking gears. You'll be dropping girls at various centers. You don't pick any man. You pick only girls. Hello, fine girl. Where are you going? Meanwhile, you are in Hacho. The girls are going to Kaswa. Hop in. Hey! From Hacho to Kaswa in the name of Jesus. Hey! This faith is a very suspicious faith too. And then you know that you are suffering, but because of the gear you put on the air conditioning. Meanwhile, you have one bar. Feel free. Should I increase the tempo of the AC? And as you are going, you are speaking in tongues that the car will not stop on the way. I'm teaching Gudu. So, okay, I know I'm from them. You are promoting him as him. I'm teaching good. You see, it is high time some of you start praying. Lord, if you give me a job with a good salary, the first 3 months I will share half with you. That's the spirit of it. I will take half, I give you half for the next 6 months. When God hears this, he knows that this one means business. Some of you, since you had your job, it was a test. God realized that your first job, you never included him. You didn't even give him 1/10 of it. And God says, so your faith was used for chicken man, like he said. Filippo, tilapia. Food bay. I'm teaching good here. Until when God is watching and thing, I say faith in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I declare, let my marriage stand. The whole agenda is that all your mates are married. So you are marrying so that at least when you see your friends, me too. Are they there? No kingdom. So the attitude of faith is that all things in faith are to promote whose kingdom? God's kingdom. Number 3, the spirit of faith is a fighting spirit. The spirit of faith is a fighting spirit. Please, learn not to accept just anything. Learn not to just accept anything. When the 10 spies brought a bad report, the Bible says Joshua and Caleb, they tore their clothes and said, we are well able, for God shall deliver them into our hands. You don't just accept anything. You have cancer. Hey! You just died. Bishop David Oyedepo came back from ministry one time to the house, and his wife said, we lost our baby. He says, honey, give me my food and let me eat. He ignored what she said. Give me my food and let me have dinner. They brought him food and he ate. He did not talk about the baby that was lost. In 9 months, she conceived and gave birth. A woman was in the house after hearing a message from Bishop Oyedepo about the spirit of faith. was told in the house that your son has just drowned in a well. He says, my son cannot drown in a well in the name of Jesus. That's what she said. And she moved to the well. When they went, the son was standing on the well, wet and crying. These things are real. I am telling you. Someone says, what if they don't work? Question, what if they work? You are always on the negative. Every time everything about your life is negative. Everything, your life is negative. Everything in your life is negative. What if it doesn't work? Hey, media, I'm afraid. What if you go and say that tomorrow by this time, I'm having a new job, and that tomorrow by this time come, and there's no job? How will I feel? You are thinking of how you feel. You see, the thing is that you don't lose anything if you say something and it doesn't come to pass. No, am I teaching good here? You don't lose anything. There are three of you here. Before June, you drive your own car. I said before June, you will drive your own car. There are two people here. Right now, when you look at your life, it looks like your chapter is closed. In the next 3 months, you are about to have a job that will pay you 10 times what you are seeing now. In the name of Jesus, tell someone there's a shift in my life. Come on, say, there's a shift in my life. One more time, there is a shift in my life. Hallelujah. The spirit of faith is a fighting spirit. Hear me carefully. There are two realities. Number one is the reality on ground. And number two is the reality in the spirit realm. The reality on ground and the reality in the spirit realm. Now, faith does not deny the fact. You have headache. Faith is not that, hey, I don't have headache. I don't have headache. So some people operate that way and they don't have money in their pocket. He says, hey, I have money. They said I shouldn't say, so I have money. Meanwhile, you know you are broke. When we are speaking of faith, faith does not deny the fact. But faith presents the word of God against the fact. Please, are you following what I'm teaching you? So if you have headache, faith is just says, the headache is not real. I don't have headache. No, people have died because of that. It does not deny the fact, but it presents the truth. What is the fact? There is sickness in my body. What is the truth? By his stripes I'm healed. So you present the truth to the fact that in as much as the headache is there, the word of God said this about you, so you have no right to stay. That is faith. So the reality on the ground is that you are jobless. The reality on the ground is that there is no money and you are broke. The reality on the ground is that the headache is there. But the presentation of the truth says that I see in the spirit realm over what I'm seeing in the physical. And I declare by what I see in the spirit that it shall be so now. That's the spirit of faith. That's the spirit of faith. So present the truth to the fact. Number four, before we pray, the spirit of faith is patient. You know, some people feel that everything can happen in one day by faith. We just finished the first phase of our auditorium, which has 500 people. We cannot say by faith, this whole room should be filled with 500 people. It doesn't work that way. Because God believes in process. I'm teaching you here. So listen, God may say something today, but the manifestation will come in 2 years. The Bible says we should follow those who through faith and patience obtain the promise. Which means, hear me carefully, faith and patience are companions. They are like two legs. You cannot walk with one without the other. So your faith must be accompanied with patience. So learn to have patience. Some of you are now disappointed in God because you think God has lied to you. The spirit of faith is patient though. I'm telling you. You're trusting God for a plant. We are not there yet too. But by faith, we have purchased a generator. A 5 kV generator. We won't go and say, by the spirit of faith, we are taking a loan of 200,000 to buy 50,000 kV. That will be the end of this ministry. That's not wisdom. So we start from where we are, but we trust God and confess. I told the church, before the end of this year, we'll be having our own plant. So it has been declared, but between now and the time, it's patience. And in the patience, we are still confessing it. We don't hold back our profession of faith. Listen, this all night you are seeing, this all night, a time is going to come. In 6 months, we'll not even be up. If you come late, you won't get the place to sit. That's the spirit of faith. And everybody will be watching me. Oh, but man of God, watch it. That's the spirit of faith. It's a never giving up spirit. No matter what Satan is bringing, your confession is the same. That is the spirit of faith. You saw a vision, you were outside the country. You have tried several times, you are denied. The spirit of faith still believes in the word of God that as I saw it, so shall it be. You still hold on patiently, but you don't hold on your profession. Too many of you have given up on your faith because you felt things were not working. Some of you have stopped saying the things you were saying because you feel it is not working. Hear me carefully. You must keep saying it whether it is working and whether it is not working. Because it is in your profession and patience that you see the promise. They obtain the promise through faith and patience. I'm teaching you. So faith is patient. Number 5. When faith becomes hard, praise and thank God excessively. That is the last attitude of faith. Please rise up on your feet. When faith becomes hard, praise and thank God, what? Excessively. Please rise up on your feet. When faith becomes hard, praise and thank God excessively. Now, you see, sometimes you may encounter something that will really challenge your faith. And if you don't take care, sometimes your faith can be so weak, you may be discouraged. In that time, praise and thank God excessively. I'm teaching you here. Praise and thank God excessively in the times where your faith seems to be failing, where you are so down and things are not working. Praise more, worship more, thank more. Yeah, it's an attitude of faith. Lift up your hands. You want to thank God for all the troubles that were designed to frustrate you. You want to thank God for all the hard times you are going through. You want to thank God for how many times you are trying and it's not working. Thank God for it. For all the failures you have been experiencing from January. I am telling you, as you are doing this, something is taking place. Thank God for the bad news that you heard from January. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for the bad things that happened to you. Thank God for the challenging times. Thank God. Thank God for that financial hardship that it didn't kill you. That it didn't make you compromise. Thank God. Thank God. Come on, thank God. Come on, thank God. Come on, thank God.